I speak from the depths of my heart to each one of you who have been scarred by the ugly sin of abuse, whether you are a member or non-member of the church. I would prefer a private setting to discuss this sensitive subject and ask that the Holy Spirit help us both that you may receive the relief from the Lord from the cruelty that has scarred your life. Unless healed by the Lord, mental, physical, or sexual abuse can cause you serious enduring consequences. As a victim, you have experienced some of them. They include fear, depression, guilt, self-hatred, destruction of self-esteem, and alienation from normal human relationships. When aggravated by continued abuse, powerful emotions of rebellion, anger, and hatred are generated. These feelings often are focused against oneself, others, life itself, and even Heavenly Father. Frustrated efforts to fight back can degenerate into drug abuse, immorality, abandonment of home, and tragically, in extreme cases, suicide. Unless corrected, these feelings lead to despondent lives, discordant marriages, and even the transition from victim to abuser. One awful result is a deepening lack of trust in others, which becomes a barrier to healing. To be helped, you must understand some things about eternal law. Your abuse results from another's unrighteous attack on your freedom. Since all of Father in Heaven's children enjoy agency, there can be some who choose willfully to violate the commandments and harm you. Such acts temporarily restrict your freedom. In justice and to compensate, the Lord has provided a way for you to overcome the destructive results of others' acts against your will. That relief comes by applying eternal truths with priesthood assistance. No. That the wicked choice of others cannot completely destroy your agency unless you permit it. Their acts may cause pain, anguish, even physical harm, but they cannot destroy your eternal possibilities in this brief but crucial life on earth. You must understand that you are free to determine to overcome the harmful results of abuse. Your attitude can control the change for good in your life. It allows you to have the help the Lord intends you to receive. No one can take away your ultimate opportunities when you understand and live eternal law. The laws of your Heavenly Father and the atonement of the Lord have made it possible that you will not be robbed of the opportunities which come to the children of God. You may feel threatened by one who is in a position of power or control over you. You may feel trapped and see no escape. Please believe that your Heavenly Father does not want you to be held captive by unrighteous influence, by the threats of reprisal, or by fear of repercussion to the family member who abuses you. Trust that the Lord will lead you to a solution. Ask in faith, nothing doubting. I solemnly testify that when another's violence, perversion, incest cause you deep harm against your will, you are not responsible, and you must not feel guilty. You may be left with scars from abuse, but they need not be permanent. In the eternal plan, in God's timetable, those injuries can be made right as you do your part. Here are some of the things you can do now. If you are now or have been abused, seek help. Perhaps you distrust others and wonder if there's really any worthwhile help available. Begin with your eternal Father and his beloved Son, your Savior. Strive to comprehend their commandments and follow them, and they will lead you to others who will strengthen and encourage you. There is available to you a priesthood leader, normally a bishop, at times a member of a state presidency. They will build bridges to greater understanding and healing. Joseph Smith taught, a man can do nothing for himself unless God direct him in the right way, and the priesthood is for that purpose. End of quote. Talk to your bishop in confidence. His calling allows him to act as an instrument of the Lord in your behalf. He can provide a doctrinal foundation to guide you to recovery. An understanding and application of eternal law will provide the healing you require. He has the right to be inspired of the Lord in your behalf. He can use the priesthood to bless you. Your bishop can help you identify trustworthy friends to support you. He will help you regain self-confidence and self-esteem to begin the process of renewal. When abuse is extreme, he can help you identify appropriate protection and professional treatment consistent with the teachings of the Savior. These are some of the principles of healing you will come to understand more fully. Recognize that you are a beloved child of your Heavenly Father. He loves you perfectly and can help you as no earthly parent, spouse, or devoted friend can. His Son gave his life so that by faith in him and obedience to his teachings, you can be made whole. He is the consummate healer. Gain trust in the love and compassion of your elder brother, Jesus Christ, by pondering the scriptures. As with the Nephites, he tells you, I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy. I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. Healing best begins with your sincere prayer, asking your Father in heaven for help. That use of your agency allows divine intervention. When you permit it, the love of the Savior will soften your heart. Break the cycle of abuse that can transform a victim into an aggressor. Adversity, even when caused willfully by others' unrestrained appetite, can be a source of growth when viewed from the perspective of eternal principle. The victim must do all in his or her power to stop the abuse. Most often, the victim is innocent because of being disabled by fear or the power or authority of the offender. At some point in time, however, the Lord may prompt a victim to recognize a degree of responsibility for abuse. Your priesthood leader will help you assess your responsibility so that if needed, it can be addressed. Otherwise, the seeds of guilt will remain and sprout into bitter fruit. Yet no matter what degree of responsibility, from absolutely none to increasing consent, the healing power of the atonement of Jesus Christ can provide a complete cure. Forgiveness can be obtained for all involved in abuse. Then comes a restoration of self-respect, self-worth, and a renewal of life. As a victim, do not waste effort in revenge or retribution against your aggressor. Focus on your responsibility to do what is in your power to correct. Leave the handling of the offender to civil and church authorities. Whatever they do, the guilty will face the perfect judge. Ultimately, the unrepentant abuser will be punished by a just God. The purveyors of filth and harmful substances who knowingly incite others to acts of violence and deprivation, and those who promote a climate of permissiveness and corruption will be sentenced. Predators who victimize the innocent and justify their own corrupted life by enticing others to adopt their depraved ways will be held accountable. Of such the Master warned, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Understand that healing can take considerable time. Recovery generally comes in steps. It is accelerated when gratitude is expressed to the Lord for every degree of improvement noted. During prolonged recovery from a massive surgery, a patient anticipates complete healing in patience, trusting another's care. He does not always understand the importance of the treatment prescribed, but his obedience speeds recovery. So it is with you, struggling to heal the scars of abuse. Forgiveness, for example, can be hard to understand, even more difficult to give. Begin by withholding judgment. You don't know what abusers may have suffered as victims when innocent. The way to repentance must be kept open for them. Leave the handling of aggressors to others. As you experience an easing of your own pain, full forgiveness will come more easily. You cannot erase what has been done, but you can forgive. Forgiveness heals terrible, tragic wounds, for it allows the love of God to purge your heart and mind from the poison of hate. It cleanses your consciousness of the desire for revenge. It makes place for the purifying, healing, restoring love of the Lord. The Master counseled, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you." Bitterness and hate are harmful. They produce much that is destructive. They postpone the relief and healing you yearn for. Through rationalization and self-pity, they can transform a victim into an abuser. Let God be the judge. You cannot do it as well as He can. To be counseled to just forget abuse is not helpful. You need to understand the principles which will bring healing. I repeat, most often that comes through an understanding priesthood leader who has inspiration and the power of the priesthood to bless you. I caution you not to participate in two improper therapeutic practices that may cause you more harm than good. They are excessive probing into every minute detail of your past, particularly when this involves penetrating dialogue in group discussion, and blaming the abuser for every difficulty in your life. While some discussion is vital to the healing process, the almost morbid probing into details of past acts long buried and mercifully forgotten can be shattering. There is no need to pick at healing wounds to open them and cause them to fester. The Lord and His teachings can help you without destroying self-respect. There is another danger. Detailed leading questions that probe your past may unwittingly trigger thoughts that are more imagination or fantasy than reality. They could lead to condemnation of another for acts that were not committed. While likely few in number, I know of cases where such therapy has caused great injustice to the innocent from unwittingly stimulated accusations that were later proven false. Memory, particularly adult memory of childhood experience, is fallible. Remember, false witness, an accusation, is also a sin. Stated more simply, if someone intentionally poured a bucket of filth on your carpet, would you invite the neighbors to determine each ingredient that contributed to the ugly stain? Of course not. with the help of an expert, you would privately restore its cleanliness. Likewise, the repair of damage inflicted by abuse should be done privately, confidentially, with a trusted priesthood leader, and where needed, the qualified professional he recommends. There must be sufficient discussion of the general nature of abuse to allow you to be given appropriate counsel and to prevent the aggressor from committing more violence. Then, with the help of the Lord, bury the past. I humbly testify that what I've told you is true. It is based upon eternal principles I have seen the Lord use to give a fullness of life to those scarred by wicked abuse. If you feel there's only a thin thread of hope, believe me, it is not a thin thread, but can become an indestructible link to the Lord, which puts a life preserver around you. He will heal you as you cease to fear and place trust in Him by striving to obey His teachings. Please, don't suffer more. Ask now for the Lord to help you. Decide now to talk to your bishop. Don't view all you experience in life through lenses darkened by the scars of abuse. There is so much that is beautiful in life. Open the windows of your heart and let the love of the Savior in. And should ugly thoughts of past abuse come back, remember His love and His healing power. Your depression will be converted to peace and assurance, and you will close an ugly chapter and open volumes of happiness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.